back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to Jedi's and Jedi.
Hello, everyone! Welcome to... No, the hello doesn't work for me. Hi, everyone! Welcome to a brand new episode of Jedi and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, when the Jedi learn of a separatist plot to kidnap Chancellor Palpatine, one of them must go deep undercover as a hardened criminal to extract information from the conspirators. There'll be... Baldy One Kenobi! Obi-Wan hanging out with a dead guy! Anakin backsliding, and the return of Cad Bane. Yes! We are talking about deception this week. How are you, Chris?
Do you think there'll be deception in this episode?
Maybe they won't say it 12 times.
Yeah.
In 22 minutes. Ugh.
Deception. There probably will be some corruption in this, too.
Yeah, mostly on the Jedi part. Well, what's kind of cool, listeners, is this is episode 90 for us, so 10 more till the 100th episode.
Wow, we're really, we're cranking towards that.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm excited.
It's all going to happen, that's going to be a crazy, crazy J-Guys and Jedi time, because you're going to have our annual sort of December fun bit of podcast. We're going to have the 100th podcast. We're going to be winding up season 4 and The Last Jedi will be coming out.
So I'm excited.
Speaking of The Last Jedi coming out, we were talking instant messaging before this that today, and this is, you know, of course weeks ago now, everybody's has seen it or refused to see it. But tonight is Monday night, and during Monday Night Football, they're going to put the new Last Jedi trailer out. And if while we're recording it comes out, we're going to just stop everything and hope and I will watch it.
Now, listeners, we are recording 2 episodes tonight. So if it doesn't drop within the time that we're recording this episode, it will be next week for you guys. But we're doing 2 tonight, so... If it's not tonight, come back later. You'll probably hear me screaming.
Yeah, but I mean, if it comes out on the YouTubes before, we'll have a nice. You'll definitely be getting our fresh reaction.
What do you want to see from the Last Jedi trailer?
I'm out of that mindset. What from the trailer is what I don't want to see. That's spoilery stuff. I'd like it to be obscure enough. I like the sort of pattern they've been doing since episode 1 of making them very abstract and using images that don't really give away too much, and if they do, you don't really see how they give it away in the trailer. Now, there's scandal because the director is telling people that they might not want to see the trailer, that it might tell them too much.
He's been going back and forth about that. He was just like, I really want you to see it, but I don't.
I don't know how much, you know, I'm so old and cynical that, you know, with all this stuff that's happening in Star Trek and with Star Wars with basically DC versus Marvel, all the scandal and the things people argue over, I think that's just good, seen as good publicity for them. So it's a good headline to say the director of the new Star Wars movie would rather you didn't watch the trailer. You know, if that was really scandalous, he'd be having trouble. Well, maybe he is having trouble with Disney right now. But I have a feeling he's not going to get in trouble for saying that. You know what I mean?
I have a feeling he's trolling. Like, yeah. Dave Filoni is a good troll. He's really good at that.
Yeah.
But either way,
I'm going to watch it. I don't care, you know. Yeah. I'm going to watch it. That's just how I am.
I want a little bit more of just... I just want a better idea of the story. So I wouldn't mind seeing, like, a couple story elements. And I also want to see more Finn, and I want to see more of Rose. Because Rose is the character they teased at Celebration. We saw a little bit of her in the last trailer. But, like, now she has, like, toys and pop figures and stuff. And I'm like, okay, so she's going to be a little bit more of a big deal than I originally thought. So
maybe she will, maybe she won't. But she might
she
be a
kid. Another...
She might
she
be a Captain Phasma.
Though I want to see more Phasma in this, too.
Well, I have a feeling, yeah, that's what I have a feeling. I have a feeling Captain Phasma was such a disappointment last time because they had plans for her in the future. And they were like, okay, we'll just get her out there so you see her and she's a character, but they didn't really do much with her. And so I don't know. Rose could be a major character. I have a feeling she probably won't be, you know. She'll be a new character, but she's going to be on the sidelines because there's only so much room
story-wise. I think that she's going to have about the same amount of screen time as Lando because they brought Lando in the second movie, and then he had a role in the third movie. I think she's going to have about that much screen time.
Yeah, well, they're saying... Like, all the announcements of it are saying 2 hours and 30 minutes or 2 hours and 35 minutes.
My tiny bird bladder is not going to survive.
Oh, geez, we went to the new Blade Runner this weekend. That was almost 3 hours long. Three glorious hours.
My tiny little bird bladder is going to be so upset. There's still a tiny chunk of Rogue One I haven't seen. Because there's about a five-minute period where I went to go... Well, not 5 minutes. It's like, I ran there and then peed fast and then ran back. So I missed about 3 minutes of Rogue One that I still haven't seen yet because I have not watched it since it was in theaters because I'm waiting to watch it for our commentary.
Tools of the trade. Hope. Two words. Adult diapers.
No, that's gross.
Worked for the woman, the astronaut lady. Hey, look, sometimes you got to buy weird things to do. I had to go buy WD-40 to improve podcast my editing performance.
What?
Yeah, specifically because of this show.
For what?
My chair. My chair squeaks. Well, it doesn't squeak anymore because
that's practical.
Yeah, I hate it though. I'm the one who edits it. I don't want to hear that chair squeaking, and it drives me nuts. And listeners, you've probably heard it squeaking in the past while I'm talking, but when I'm not talking and, like, Hope's talking and I'm moving around, it's... I'll go through and I'll edit that out. I'll take out the... You know, I'll slide everything over to Hope's side of the conversation to keep the... And it takes up time, so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go buy myself some WD-40 and squirt all the seams of this chair. And now I have a nice, quiet chair, and
there's
I can edit my J-Guys and Jedi's episodes faster. So, if I could spend $10 on WD-40, you could get yourself some adult diapers to sit through The Last Jedi.
There's a difference between let me fix my squeaking chair and I don't want to miss 3 minutes of Star Wars.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of opinion on that.
Okay, I have that line. I do.
I would rig if that was a seriously if that was if I had a small bladder I'm used to working like 16-hour work shifts and stuff like that, so my bladder can go into full like inaction mode. Then after the end of that 12 hours I'm peeing all the time, but if I had that problem I'd have some sort of rig up like down into it. I'd have a piss jug with me in the movies or something. Maybe not a jug. I'd have something craftily rigged up. But, yeah, I freak out. I can't. I'm not going to walk out in the middle of a movie because I can't do it unless I've seen it before.
Yeah.
I'm crazy like that. So I would wear the adult diapers. Well, Christmas is coming, Hope. Christmas is coming.
No. But I am watching our notifications.
Santa Yoda might show up with a special gift.
Oh, Yoda, that would be the worst gift ever. Chris, I will take back your gift. I already know exactly what I'm getting you for Christmas, so I will take back your gift and not give it to you. And I know you want it because you've said it on the show.
Ooh.
Yeah, so no.
I might have to go listen to past episodes and see what
I'm
going to
get. You've said a lot of things.
Yeah, I have said a lot of things. Man, that ain't that the truth.
I just imagine you, like, listening to 90 episodes to narrow it down to, like, 12 things and just be like, damn it. But, yeah, so either this episode or next week, whenever they drop the Last Jedi trailer, I have my Twitter ready to notify me, and we're ready. They did drop the new movie poster, though. It's beautiful.
It's very nice, yes.
My friend's buying our tickets as soon as they drop.
We're not going to bother this time because we bought tickets last time and got all in a panic about it, and we learned that we could have just walked into the theater and seen it on opening night.
So,
but then again, I'm not a 3D viewer. I, like, avoid the 3D, so...
Me too. Actually, I was reading an article that it's going down in trend now just because people, A, don't want to spend the money for it, B, they just don't like
it. It's not that good.
Like,
it's not that good, really. Unless the movie was made for it, made, you know, with the process and specifically formatted and made for 3D, I'm not interested in seeing. It's a novelty for, like, the first 5 minutes of the movie, if that, and then my eyes get used to it, and it's just like watching a movie through sunglasses. So
the only movie I wish that I had seen in 3D was Doctor Strange, because it had a lot of the layers of the different, like,
we saw it in 3D and it was okay, but once again, after like 5-10 minutes, it just becomes sort of built into it, and it really, I don't think it really enhanced it that much.
Yeah, that was like the one movie I kind of wished, but... Well, get started on the episode?
I'm ready.
Did you like it?
Oh yeah, I like this one a lot, actually.
I like this one. The next one I like, but I have
this one could have been a Mortis.
Yeah.
This one's skirting the line of Mortis, but we'll get into why I reacted completely the opposite of Mortis.
Well, Cad Bane helps a lot.
That does help, yes.
He always helps a lot. So, all right, here we go. Deception is the 81st episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on January 20th, 2012. It was written by Brent Friedman and directed by Kyle Dunlavy. Some extra information for you. When talking to Mace Windu and Yoda in prison, Obi-Wan uses the codename Ben, a reference to a name that he used in, of course, A New Hope. Actually, back in the episode Voyage of Temptation, the original script had Satine calling Obi-Wan by Ben for his nickname, but both Dave Filoni and Satine's voice actress, Anna Graves, felt it wasn't right at the time. They changed it to Obi instead. In this episode, writer Brent Friedman approached Dave to use Ben as the codename, which Dave felt was more appropriate. In the CD Coruscant bar, it is the same layout as Zero the Hutt's bar from the Clone Wars movie, only it's redecorated. On StarWars.com for this episode, under the episode trivia section, they had close-up pictures of a lot of the posters in the CD bar in the background. I just suggest checking them out. They're just really, really cool designs, and I really like seeing those posters and stuff.
You know what? What's funny is, now that you mention that, I remember you pointing those out, like, years ago when it first happened. I remember you, like, on Facebook putting up a link to those posters. They are really cool.
Yeah, and they have new ones, everyone. I'll say next week in the next week episode information. In next week's episode, they have a picture of Sebulba as the pod racer. And it was just, I love when they do stuff like that because, you know, somebody designed those and they're really cool. So I do suggest a lot of times whenever they pretty much have a bar scene, they have pictures of the different posters for the episode and they design brand new posters every time they use them. So it's such a cool thing that I love that they do. The design of the prison is a Star Wars take on the Panopticon, haha. A proposed prison design from the 18th century built around the concept that all prisoners could be monitored at any given time without knowing when they were going to get monitored. And there's a big first in this episode. A first time this has ever happened in Clone Wars. Are you ready for it? This is the first time that the clone troopers have worn hats. Not helmets. Hats. Like hats. And Dave Filoni says, I was testing the Clone Wars adventure online, and I noticed that the game developers had put hats on the clones in the game. And I immediately thought, wow, I can't believe we haven't done that. So I went to work, and hats were made right away for the show. And I really think they tie in nicely to the original trilogy now.
I didn't even notice.
It was in the crematorium clones, the ones like running the morgue. They were wearing hats. And I only knew it because I read that. I was like, really? And I was like, oh, they do have hats. Hey.
Oh, it's probably hot down there.
Yeah. I saw that and I was just like, oh, hey. They've never been hats before. Cool. That was fun. You know who's also fun?
Also, Maurice wears a hat.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like you wear a sweater.
Sweat a lot, but wear a sweater, don't.
I'm sorry, that's a me thing, because I just think uncircumcised penises look like turtlenecks.
No, like tiny little hat.
A little cap on it. Alright, I like this one. This one's good with the embed.
Oh, all warfare is based on deception. In bed.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I actually got it was actually a Vietnamese restaurant, but they give you fortune cookies, and I got mine that said now is the time for you to learn some new tricks. Yeah. Thanks, restaurant. Thanks, fortune cookie.
They apparently was just like, you know, Chris, it's time.
I just wanted my crispy shredded beef and not a critique, but that's okay.
Okay, so no word in the Last Jedi. Sorry, I'm still watching my.
No word yet. Okay, that's right.
When they did it for Force Awakens, they waited till like the third or fourth quarter of the football game, which makes sense because they're trying to get as many viewers as they can for the football game. And so they're probably doing it that time, and I think the game started at 8, so we got time. It will probably
see.
Be
I know it comes on YouTube so quickly.
Yeah,
that it's like I don't. I'm not gonna figure out how. I don't even have a TV or cable for a TV. I'm not gonna figure out how I'm gonna watch the football game, which I don't have any interest in whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean they'll drop the video on Twitter anyway, and I have Star Wars official Twitter on my notifications, so
the second it's probably playing at the football game,
they're gonna drop it.
Yeah, so
but it's a difference between watching it on my little screen and my like big screen TV. Well, there's a difference.
I'll be full screen and I'll have a pretty good view of it as we watch it.
Though, if I move my face closer to my thing, it looks like a big screen TV.
There you go.
Then, like, inches away from my computer
screen.
You
hug your computer, it's the same thing, yeah.
All right, so Act 1?
Act 1, let's do it.
Act 1. So this dude named Morala Eval has a plan from the Separatists to assassinate... So that was the thing. The official summary said that it was to kidnap Chancellor Palpatine, but they were like, no, he's going to assassinate Chancellor Palpatine. I don't know. Something's going to happen to Chancellor Palpatine, and Morala Eval's involved. He got arrested, but some wonder if his plan has already been put into motion. The Jedi Council hatched their own plot to find out. Papas, Obi-Wan and Anakin, are strolling down the street with their daughter Ahsoka, bantering and chatting about training younglings and boring debates. Suddenly, a sniper shoots at them from the rooftop. They break up to give chase, with Obi-Wan going directly after him. Losing sight of the sniper, Obi-Wan stops, takes a deep breath, and steps out from behind his cover. He gets shot and falls from the building, crashing into the street right in front of Ahsoka. Anakin chases after the assassin, but the dude gets away. Anakin races back to the street to find Ahsoka looking emotionally crushed. Obi-Wan has died. But we know that that can't actually happen, so whatever, just go with it. Back at the Jedi Temple, they're having a funeral for Obi-Wan. Satine is there, mourning her dear Obi, because they are so in love, and I can't handle it, and my heart hurts for her, because poor baby. Satine, hun, I'm here for you. But because Anakin is looking particularly dark-sided today, Ahsoka tells Plo Koon that she's worried about Anakin. He hasn't spoken since Obi-Wan's death. The guy who shot Obi-Wan is a bounty hunter named Rako Hardeen. He's feeling particularly He's feeling particularly pleased with himself for killing a Jedi. He strolls into a bar to buy the best drink he can, and the bar celebrates with him. Back at the Jedi Temple, Yoda is second-guessing their plan, where he, Mace Windu, and the Council actually orchestrated killing Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yoda feels like they're going down a dark path on this one. They walk through the door and ta-da! Obi-Wan's still alive and there, and he's well. What a turn of events! I'm being totally sarcastic because we knew he made it to episode 3 and 4 in Force Ghost, but whatever, he's alive. What'd you think of Act 1, Chris?
This one's getting weird. But it was funny with the scene where they go in and Obi-Wan's still alive reminds me of when Wet Blanket Windu was in the Avengers movies as Nick Fury, mm-hmm. and died only to be working in the background. I agree with Yoda, this is a dumb idea.
Yeah.
This is a bad idea.
That's my biggest criticism of this episode and next episode.
not letting all the Jedi in on it, especially Anakin, is just a bad idea. For one thing, there's no reason not to let the other Jedi in on the idea. It's not like Jedi are the kind of guys like, oh yeah, he's gonna go get drunk and open his big mouth out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's
know?
Not like Plo Koon's gonna go climb on top of the Capitol building with a blowhorn.
Right. It's not gonna filter. The information is not gonna filter into the underworld unless they really like. If otherwise, there would have been story elements of how the Jedi feel completely compromised now because there's information coming out or something. So, it's just sort of a. I'm watching this one, and another thing is I've seen this episode before too. I watched it, I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen this. So it was probably one of the random ones I caught, and I remembered. Oh yeah, no. This gets weird.
I just thought of something though that I didn't think of until just now. What if after Krell, they don't know if they can trust all their Jedi?
Maybe that could very well be, but. They could pretty much trust Anakin.
Yeah.
Especially with Obi-Wan. It might be it would be better to have Anakin know and pretend to react to his master's death. For one, it's nicer to Anakin. It's a lot less stress on Anakin. And it will keep Anakin whatever Anakin does will now be, you know, on point. So
you know, yeah,
it's a strained idea.
I had that note in Act 2, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it now since we're talking about it. This is what the Council should have done. After Anakin moved to Obi-Wan's body, they should have pulled Anakin to the side and told him the plan. Because then, or at least wait until after the funeral so he could sell it. Because the whole thing, they were like, it was Anakin who sold the fact that he was dead. And he could have still, like, moved the body, acted sad, and stuff. And now the Council tricking Anakin with the death of his master, that's just going to make Anakin distrust the Jedi more when he finds out the truth.
Which I guess fits into the whole, you know, Anakin growing more and more disillusioned with the Jedi. And this will...
and with the downfall of the Jedi that Clone Wars is all about.
Right, but still, even with the Jedi acting foolishly and maybe in not a Jedi way, this is kind of dumb. You know, this is kind of not thought through as much as you would think it is. But
yeah.
Nice colors in this episode once again. A lot of brown and orange is the color scheme in this one.
I do like the funeral scene too. It's very pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get to see an official, you know, Jedi. I mean, that's Jedi funeral is obviously cremation, but you get to see one on the Jedi Central, so you see the fancy one. But yeah, that's really all the notes I had for this. I had looking like it's gonna be a weird one, basically.
Yep. This is a weird little arc, but I like it.
I like being on Coruscant. I like Coruscant. I like the big. I like big cities anyway, and I like space big cities, too. And Coruscant is, it's funny. A lot of people are talking about how, you know, Blade Runner now, because the new movies come out, you know, sort of influenced the look of that, including Coruscant. Except Coruscant is a little less. It's not earthy, you know. Blade Runner is the future on Earth. This is more like an international space hub Blade Runner, and it's really cool. So any time that we spend in Coruscant, I just like being immersed in that world.
Yeah. So I was wondering about the Separatist plot to kill Palpatine. And they don't state where the plot has come from. And so if it was hatched up by Dooku and Palpatine, then they have things completely under control. They have nothing to worry about. But if it was just some, general in the war or a Separatist senator who was just like, I'm going to help the war effort and try and kill Palpatine, then I kind of want to know that, because because in their mind they would think that they'd be helping the war, not knowing that Palpatine is Sidious. And I think that'd be kind of interesting if there were, outlying Separatist people who are acting kind of away from Count Dooku.
Yeah, I know. If they failed in their plan, it would save a lot of death and Anakin going to the dark side.
Yeah. So, we learn next episode is Count Dooku. But at the time that I wrote this, I didn't know where this plot was coming from. So I just thought it would be interesting if we saw, some Separatist general who is just like, I'm going to help the war effort and try and kill them.
But...
And Dooku being like, what the fuck are you doing? Ah!
Well, it's Dooku just going, I did too good a job.
Yep. So the little moment when Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Ahsoka are walking along before the sniper attacks, they're talking about training younglings in council debates, and they're both on the same level of, for Anakin.
Yep.
And I was like, training younglings would be so much more fun, Anakin. Come on. That sounds like a lot of fun. I really like the moment that Ahsoka is holding Obi-Wan's body and she's in tears. You know what? I don't know the name of the piece, but it's the statue of the Virgin Mary holding Jesus's body. That's kind of what, and it was dark alley. There was a single beam of light on Ahsoka and Obi-Wan, and it actually reminded me of that statue. I wish I had looked at the name, because I completely forgot to do that. But she's in tears, and that is a huge emotional moment for Ahsoka, because I don't think we've ever seen her cry up to this point. And it makes a lot of sense, because she's lost clone troopers and other Jedi, but Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Plo Koon are pretty much the closest things that she has to dads. They are her three biggest father figures. What?
What about Rex?
I think more like brother.
Okay.
But the three of them are the masters. Plo Koon, founder. Obi-Wan is Anakin's master, and Anakin's her master, and she's constantly working with Obi-Wan. Those are the three that she works with the most. I always see them the three closest things to father figures to her, and she's holding one of her dad's bodies, and it's just such a moment, because like I said, we've never seen Ahsoka cry.
Well, she's probably crying for her, she's probably crying for Anakin.
Yeah, but I mean, she's also you know, they're Jedi. They're supposed to, like, swallow emotions and everything. But, like, to see a Jedi cry, I can't recall ever seeing a Jedi cry. I'm thinking back to movies and stuff. Well,
Anakin's thrown a few.
Anakin cries all the time.
Yeah.
He doesn't count. Any of the other Jedi. I actually saw somebody, they had manipulated a photo from, what I think it was like episode 2 or 3. Padme was like, "Obi-Wan, you made Anakin cry." Anakin always cries. I do not! So Anakin doesn't count, but all the other
Shut
Jedi,
up, Obi-Wan!
I can't think of anybody. Did Luke cry when Vader died? Did Luke ever cry?
I don't think he did. He had this more, like, it was more of a rite of passage, resigned sadness to it. But
yeah,
you know, he didn't know his father. You know, he just basically met him and turned him. So it was probably more of like, I regret not ever knowing my father, but I'm glad I was able to save him type of thing. I don't think he shed a single tear or anything like that.
I don't think he cried when his aunt and uncle died either.
No, he just had that shocked look of horror on his face and then got over it real quick. for the rest of the trilogy. from Mos Eisley on, he was fine, you know.
So that was just a big moment for me, because I can't recall ever seeing a Jedi cry. And Ezra doesn't count, too, because he's still learning and he's a Padawan.
I'm trying to think of who we've seen cry in Star Wars, and I think we've only seen... And we see Anakin cry as a kid when he leaves his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Padme cry in episode 3.
Yeah, and
I think that's it. We see
Rey cry when whoever left her behind left her, and I think she
cried. Oh, you're right. You're right.
I think she cried when she remembered that too.
I think you're right. I think she had tears down her face at the end of it.
Wait, did Kylo cry? Because he's a Skywalker boy, and he's an Anakin fanboy, so he probably cried.
Yeah, but he's like full grown Anakin. It's like, it's that fine line between whining and crying, you know?
He's Anakin's biggest fanboy. So.
Yeah, he might not have tears coming out, but he's...
Grandfather, I even cry like you. Leia cried when she found out Han died.
It's
I
the same
that.
Crying as I cry about American Kit Kats, basically.
Yeah, but Leia... I think Leia cried when she found out about Han. Because, I think. I don't remember. Anyway. So moving on. So, I know that the Jedi Council didn't kill Obi-Wan, because we know that he's in later movies. But even just to fake his death is really shitty, especially for someone like Satine. Satine had to drop all her shit on Mandalore, fly to Coruscant, and then bury her boyfriend. That's a shitty thing to do to Satine!
Yes, it is.
That's shitty!
I'm sure she's busy, too.
Yeah! She's got Death Watch running around. We just saw that last week. You know, she's got a terrorist out there who's trying to kill her. She's got to remain neutral, fending off both the Republic and the Separatists, who are just like, come join us. And she's just like, fuck you guys. And then she's like, what, my boyfriend died? And she drops all her shit, flies out there, and then they make her mourn her boyfriend, who she loves, and we know that she loves him. And then don't fuck with my fanships. That's my girl. Don't fuck with my girl. I'm mad. I know that Obi-Wan is probably one of the most qualified people for this job. And stuff like that. But if as a fan, if they really wanted us to trick us, they could have used like Ahsoka or Rex or one of the characters from the series. But we also know that Ahsoka is a terrible actor.
Rex also looks more like the guy too, so.
Yeah. This could have been a cool little mini Rex arc. Yep. And we've seen him, he can, like, you know, play along with things and stuff. But at the same time, I get that Obi-Wan is much more qualified. Though, it would have been cool to see Rex how he wiggles out of certain situations. I would have liked that. But Obi-Wan is very qualified to do this job. So, yeah. though. This is like a Quillen Voss job. Quillen Voss's specialty is to be an undercover guy.
Yeah, yeah. Why didn't they just get Quillen Voss?
Like, that is his specialty. I just finished reading Dark Disciple, and they were like, this is Quillen Voss's number one thing that he does. He only does undercover missions. He doesn't do anything else. And to the point where people don't even know who Quillen Voss is, or that he's a Jedi, or what he looks like. People don't know what Quillen Voss looks like in the normal galaxy. So I was like, why not call Quinlan? I don't know. I just... They didn't trick the audience, unless you were a small child and you didn't know that Obi-Wan made it to the next movie. So it kind of took away the suspense. But I guess the point of the episode is the fact that Obi-Wan is undercover, not let's trick our audience.
Yeah.
That's not the point, but still. Well, that's all I had for Act 1.
Alright, I'm ready for Act 2, I guess.
I guess. So, Act 2. There's a problem to the Jedi Council's Obi-Wan is dead plan. That's Anakin. Even with Obi-Wan suppressing his vital signs and stuff, Yoda knows that Anakin will sense something is not right in the Force. But they don't have time, and Obi-Wan has to get his mission underway. As they're shaving his head and face, Wet Blanket Windu tells him about Ival, who planned the assassination of Palpatine. Ival sounds like a bad dude, having killed his mom as a boy because he was bored. The guy works directly under Count Dooku. Obi-Wan hopes that they can not only save the Chancellor, but also learn where Grievous and Dooku are, too. And then we see Obi-Wan bald and shaved. Yeah. Yeah. Then in a horrific scene, the medical droid jabs Obi-Wan in the neck with a needle. Obi-Wan convulses and shakes until his entire face transforms into Rako Hardeen, the bounty hunter who shot him. Back at the cantina, a droid leads Hardeen to a back room to receive his payment. Obi-Wan and Wet Blanket are waiting for him. Hardeen is pretty shook seeing Obi-Wan with his face. They get Hardeen to confess for a murder he didn't actually do, while Obi-Wan puts on his clothes. Wet Blanket records Hardeen's voice on a little droid that Obi-Wan swallows. He now sounds like Hardeen. But uh-oh for the sneaky council, a wild Anakin found out where Hardeen is at the bar and has gone rogue to find him. He drags Ahsoka too. He wastes no time throwing out his lightsaber demanding where Hardeen is. He heads back to find Hardeen is drunk on the bed. Anakin is super ready to kill him, but Obi-Wan would rather have Hardeen arrested. They take him into custody and put him in prison. By now we know that this Hardeen is actually Obi-Wan in disguise. What'd you think of Act 2?
This was where the fun began.
Yeah.
This was where I was like, okay, I could really hate this, but I'm going with it because it's not like the Mortis arc that just kind of messes up with a lot of my basic ideas of the way things should be or are, or, you know, it kind of cheapens a lot of things of the Force. You know, it's like there's no real big ramifications to this story happening. It's just goofy as hell. It's yeah. Kind of like a tribute to the movie Space Off, I guess. It's sort of Space Face Off.
I was thinking about that, and I wanted to make a reference, but I've never actually seen Face Off, so I was like, I'm going to hope Chris makes a reference to it.
Well, Space Off, it's like Space Off and Harry Potter mixed together, because in Space and Face Off, they just cut the two people's faces off and switched them onto their skulls. And in this one, they sort of take polymorph juice or polymorph...
Oh, polyjuice potion?
Yes, polyjuice potion, basically. And then you would think that they would have a smaller droid or something, or, you know, or at least come up with, like, a droid that you could swallow in three or four different pill type sizes and it would sort of assemble itself.
How is that not, like, blocking his esophagus?
Yeah, I know, exactly. But it's fun. It sure is fun. And my only other note is they pull out the space Floby. You remember the Floby?
No.
It was a late night infomercial ad, and it's the tool for cutting your hair that you hook onto the end of your vacuum cleaner, and you literally suck your Yeah, so go on YouTube sometime and look up Flobee ads. It was a big deal in the 90s is you would be watching TV late at night and you just hook it right up to you'd save all this money on haircuts and no cleanup.
Oh, this looks terrible.
Well, his isn't to give him a hair. He looks like he doesn't have much character to his face once you take the hair and his model looks very like generic like white guy head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like it's, you can see some of like the high cheekbones and stuff, but
a little bit. But it doesn't look really like young Alec Guinness or it's just it's a little weird. But it looks like the Obi-Wan from Clone Wars shaved, because I'm sure that's just what they did.
there was an episode feature up this week that I didn't include, but mostly it's because it was James Arnold Taylor, who is Obi-Wan's voice actor, talking about the differences between voicing both Obi-Wan and Hardeen. He voices both of them.
Right.
And I didn't include it because a lot of it is audio, because he's like showing how he changes his voice for it. And so that's why I didn't include it, because, you know, I can't mimic that. But he mentioned that. He was like, you know, we've never seen Obi-Wan shaved except for Ewan McGregor in the first movie. And he did talk about that, and he does have kind of those like Ewan McGregor features.
Yeah, and you're only going to see him for a couple seconds anyway, so.
That was one of my notes, which was shaved Obi-Wan, dot, 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 bald and shaved Obi-Wan. I was trying to think of a clever nickname, like Q-Bally-1 Kenobi, but I couldn't figure out anything that was quite fitting nicely. Baldy-1 Kenobi, that was another one I tried.
Obi-Wan Skenobi.
Skenobi! You're so much better at this than I am! Mr. Farkin and Sharkin.
Better at picking on people, yes. Better at coming up with cruel nicknames.
See, this is why you're with me. You know, I was joking with my friend Cody the other night, and my friend Cody is very, like, sarcastic and cynical, and we were talking about eye tattoos, and because he has a bajillion tattoos, and I only have a few, and I had sent him a link to this girl who was dumb enough to get her eyeball tattooed, and there's only one guy in the world who is certified and knows how to do this correctly. She did not go to him, and her eye got infected. She lost her sight, and when she cried, she would cry ink. It was disgusting. And I was like, Cody, don't you ever do this? And he was telling me like about the one guy in the world who can do it and stuff like that and how he wants to do it. And I was like, Cody, if you lose your eyesight, you won't be able to see the world in a cynical view to combat my cheeriness. And he was like, I can still hear, though. I'll be the daredevil of sarcasm. So, yeah, you're like Cody. You're the cynical one to my cheerfulness. but, yeah, it was a disgusting video looking at her infected tattoo eye crying.
I'll skip that one, yeah.
It was gross. It popped up on my feed. I was like, what's this? Ah! And then I couldn't stop watching. I was like, this is disgusting. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't need to be reminded that I don't need... I'm not going to get a tattoo anywhere, so I don't need to be reminded that I don't need to get one on my eye.
I'm looking forward to getting at least three more. I have my next Star Wars one planned. I have a Once Upon a Time one planned, and I have a Sherlock one planned. And I need to get one touched up. And... So, yeah, and then that's what I'm sitting on at the moment. But there could always be room for more. Yay.
but that's all the notes I had.
So the Jedi are playing shady, shady in this episode. Because not only do they fake Obi-Wan's death and trick everyone, they make Hardeen confess to a murder he didn't do.
Yeah, oh no, the Jedi have been going all shady James Bond like CIA the last two arcs.
And even Obi-Wan was like, well, your intent was to murder me. And I'm like, he didn't actually kill you, Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
There is a difference. Like, aggravated assault at best. Or maybe like...
Attempted murder, for sure.
Yeah, but like, they made him confess to a murder that he didn't do. That's shady.
Well, that wasn't as much for court, I think, as for... Well, it was for court because they have to send fake Obi-Wan to jail. But I think it was more just to get his vocal patterns, you know?
Yeah, but also, where are they keeping Hardeen during all this? Like, is he just, like, shoved into a Jedi closet and locked in?
Yeah, some secret Jedi cell dungeon area.
Yeah, where are they keeping...
The Jedi have to have their own lockup somewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's more dangerous in this episode, the Jedi Council or Anakin with a vendetta.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both dangerous in completely different ways. Which one do you think is more dangerous?
Anakin.
Anakin
but
with a vendetta.
The two of them are so... it's kind of linked in. Anakin is a result of the Jedi Council, you know, so they're working hand in hand being dangerous in this one.
Yeah. I think so, too. I mean, Anakin's always dangerous at most times, so...
Right, and the Jedi Council's being dangerous by not realizing that and doing more about it to... Yeah.
Yeah. So something I really do like about this season, and they've done it a few times already, this is another episode, example of Anakin backsliding towards the dark side. And we saw it with the Slaver arc, we're seeing it again... And again, with the Slaver arc, you know, they can't always develop Anakin forward, but they can develop him backwards. Which I guess is forward, because it's going towards episode 3. So it does make sense. But something I liked about the fact that he didn't kill Hardeen. He could have killed Hardeen, and he didn't. So it shows that he's not fully the dark side, because he still had that moment where he had him at lightsaber point and was just like, Obi-Wan wouldn't want me to do this.
Well, it was, that's because he was so much in grief that he was thinking about Obi-Wan, and so he was operating on WWOWWD.
WD-40?
Yeah.
What would Obi-Wan do? But yeah, I did like that moment that he had every chance to kill him, and he didn't because that's what Obi-Wan would have wanted him to do. And so it shows that he's just still, he's not fully in the dark side, but he is starting to touch on it more and more this season. But boy, oh boy, what would have happened if he actually stabbed Obi-Wan, not knowing that Hardeen was Obi-Wan?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Obi-Wan would have been just like, look.
But, not if yeah. He was too fast. If he got him in the gut and he was just like, Anakin, it's me, and then died. Oh, man.
Yeah, that would have been big trouble. And talk about an unhinged Anakin then.
Yeah, like dark side. Like we would have been having like episode 3 going on in the middle
real
of Clone
early,
Wars.
Yeah.
That would have been intense. Force Ghost Obi-Wan.
Well,
would
this
be
could be him. This could that could be why the, that could be why this is all being orchestrated. It's just another, you know, when it all falls out, it's going to make Anakin a little more grudgy towards the Jedi.
Yeah, but Palpatine is still, I argue, one of the best villains in history with the addition of Clone Wars, too, because you really get to see his slow burn plan. Now, I still want to know what he would have done with the Zillow Beast. We talked about that in the Zillow Beast episode. We never knew what he was going to do with the Zillow Beast, and I still want to know. Anyway. All right. That's all I had. Act 3?
Act 3.
All right. Let's wrap this puppy up. Hardeen Kenobi, that's what I'm going to call him for the rest of this time. Hardeen Kenobi is hanging out in his space prison cafeteria while everyone else is scouting him out. Sharkin 2.0 doesn't think that he looks so tough, so Hardeen Kenobi stabs Sharkin 2.0 in the hand and threatens to eat him. That gets everyone to leave him alone, or makes him the cool guy of the prison, or one of the plastics if this was Mean Girls. On Wednesday, we wear orange jumpsuits. Morello Evol is quite impressed with Hardeen and slides up to the cool kids table with him. Evol likes him and gives him some hot sauce to make his food better. Hardeen Kenobi goes to his jail cell, and there's Evol as one of his bunkmates. He wants Hardeen in on the plan, but who is there ready to give an upcharge? Our favorite bounty hunter, Cad Bane. Cad is planning on breaking them all out of jail. Bane is not impressed at all with Hardeen. Anyone with a sniper rifle can take a pot shot at Jedi. Hardeen Kenobi snips with Bane, making Bane up his rate even more. Evol is like, "Welp, sorry Hardeen, guess you have to leave and forget what you heard, or I will skin you in your sleep. Bye-bye now." In the gym, you know, out in the open in front of everybody, Obi-Wan calls into Wet Blanket Windu and Yoda to catch them up to speed. At some point, Bane did get arrested, but now they see it was on purpose. Obi-Wan's going to have to play nice with Bane to find out details about the assassination plot. That night in the cafeteria, Boba Fett shows up trying to play the big, bad, tough guy that Hardeen owes him for stealing a bounty. Boba's working for Cad Bane this time around, and he gets a bounty bro nod from Bane. Wow, try saying that 5 times fast. Bounty bro nod from Bane. Anyway, he tackles Hardeen to the table, and before a fight can break out, the clone troopers break them up. But Bosk is like, "Don't mess with my boss, baby!" and knocks out the clones before throwing Hardeen across the table. And it's time for a prison riot! Yeah! Riot! Riot! Cad Bane has set up the riot. Abal and he flee with the diversion. Hardeen Kenobi rushes after them and says he wants to come along. Cad Bane is all like, "Nah, bro, this is an A-B escape plan, so see your way out of it." But Abal wants Hardeen to come on the team, so Bane puts up with it. They go to the morgue, but the door is locked. They change the access code on the door so Bane can't get in. Hardeen Kenobi starts rewinding the panel to get in. But with Bane and Yval both distracted, he uses the Force to unlock the door. They sneak inside. Escaping to the crematorium is the easy part. They jump inside the cask and some coffins, and Obi-Wan has to share the ride with the dead guy. The guards send them on their way, and at the cremation center, Bane Kenobi and Yval jump the guards. Obi-Wan ends up having a guard at blaster point, but freezes. Bane shoots the guard and ridicules him. They race to the hangar, steal police speeder, and escape jail. They ditch the speeder, stealing another dude's ship. Bane suddenly punches Hardeen Kenobi in the face for not killing the guard. He's starting to suspect that something is up with Hardeen, but Yval is pleased with his new associate. But we'll have to wait until next week to find out what Yval has planned for Obi-Wan. The end.
I like how in the last two arcs, with the first one with Anakin undercover and this one with Obi-Wan undercover, they both have that moment early on in being undercover where they have to let someone die, where someone has to die that they wouldn't want to die, you know, that's basically on their side. So that's always, I noticed that they did that twice. And the whole prison thing is very face-off. There's a lot of similarities with that, and it's kind of Space Oz. Cad Bane, he's cool in this one, but he's just, you know, it's just like he's back, you know. He doesn't get to do an awful lot in this one, but it's just like,
he runs up a wall and spider monkey jump kicks a guard. That was pretty cool.
yeah, but this is basically saying, now we're gonna get an arc with basically Obi-Wan Kenobi getting to, you know, it's very similar to when they were, you know, chained to Dooku, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to look forward to, you know. It's just like, oh, this is a beginning, and now this adventure is going to be these three to get together, and that's a really neat concept. And I'm digging that he calls himself Ben. And it makes more. I'm glad that they did that rather than have it be his nickname earlier, because then it makes more sense when he's on Tatooine. He's like, okay, I'm undercover again, you know.
Yeah.
So now I'm. I remember that one time I went undercover. Now I'm Ben, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it fits really well. It's a good. I think it works very well with his character.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for this section.
So my first note is it's just really good to see Cad Bane again. I've really missed him. I love Cad Bane, so I'm just happy. It's kind of weird seeing him without his respirators, though. He has a weird face. But yeah. What if someone else found that communication device under the weightlifting seats and was just like, because I know the times that I've lifted weights, I usually grab the bottom of the weightlifting seats to pull myself up.
If I was in the prison, I'd be like, oh, I would be more paranoid it was the prison trying to bug. I'd be like telling the other prisoners, don't, careful what you say around, you know, weightlifting bench B, because it looks like there's a bug on it or something.
Yeah. Though, it's kind of cool. I've been watching The Night Of. I'm about halfway through it. And it's a drama about the judicial system. But it's from all sides of the judicial system. So you see the police, the attorneys, you see inside the prison, what happens in there, and the politics within the prison. And so, like, after watching that, like, there was a lot of similarities. Like, Yval is kind of like the Freddy character, and he runs the prison because he was the one that called Obi-Wan to his cell, and everyone kind of listens to him. And, you know, there's definitely a hierarchy because Bo is working for Bane inside the prison. So it was some... I'm currently watching a prison drama right now, so I just really, really enjoyed watching that scene. I had a laugh at Boba, though, because...
Didn't you think he was going to do that thing where you just hold on to his head and he sits there swinging, you know, punching at him, and they just fall short because he's holding them at arm's length?
That's what I was thinking! He's so tiny! He's adorably small, and that's what I liked about him, because, like, Hardeen was, like, a good 8 inches taller than him, just, like, looking down at him, like, child, why are you talking to me? And Boba was just like, hey, man, I'm here to mess with you, man! And I was just like, just flick him, Obi-Wan, you'll be fine. Just Boba, I couldn't take him seriously. He was
well,
so
Boba
cute.
I'm sure Boba got paid to start that fight, but also, at the same token, he's a tiny little runt, and he's got to be twice as tough to... keep people taking him seriously.
Yeah, and we do know that Bossk runs on Boba's team. Like, they are on, like, they work, Bossk works for Boba. So, but, like, in this scene, and it was when I was looking up the episode information notes, but they very clearly clarified Boba was working for Cad Bane this time. So, yeah, he was.
And remember how we talked about how the lizard people were just douches?
Yeah.
But at least here's something you've got. You've got Bossk, and Bossk probably, like, is employed by him, but Bossk probably is, like, you know, protective of him. So
yeah.
Maybe that might be, you know, that might be a little good side to the lizard people.
And we saw that the last time we saw Boba with when they were with Aura Singh, because Bossk was there too, and Aura Singh, even in her weird, corrupted, crazy way, was protective of Boba too. So, but bounty hunters have a weird good side. Though, going back to Obi-Wan, you know, I was saying he was probably the right candidate for this, too. Because, you know, he's been around criminals. And he probably put a lot of these guys in jail. So he knows what to say and how to act and stuff like that.
He's had to do a lot of the things that the bounty hunters have done, just in different, in Jedi context. But he's had to break out of jails and steal stuff and all that. So, yeah, he doesn't really have to do it. He just has to shift his friend values, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, what do I need to do to fit in with these guys? But he just is basically doing a lot of the same stuff he would do anyway.
Well, what do I have to do? I have to stab a shark in the hand.
Yeah, no problem.
that was a very badass moment. I was just like, huh, Obi-Wan, you just stabbed a guy. Whoa. Calm down there. So, the riot scene also reminded me of another show that Dave Filoni worked on, and it's one of my favorite shows of all time, and I know I've talked about it here on this show before. I was kind of expecting it, because it is a Dave Filoni show as well. Well, he was one of the writers at the time. He wasn't, like, the producer or the creator or anything, but he worked on Avatar The Last Airbender. And there's a scene where they needed to start a prison riot, because a couple of the heroes had snuck into... a bad guy's prison to try and find Sokka's father. And they were like, okay, we found them, we need to get out. And they're like, how do we get out? And they're like, let's start a prison riot. Well, what ended up happening was Sokka's dad was like, I got this. So he goes up to the biggest, baddest dude, and he's just like, hey, you're terrible and you suck and you're bad. And the biggest, baddest dude just kind of frowns and goes, why would you say that to me? That was very hurtful. And Sokka's dad is just like, I'm sorry. Look, man, we're just trying to start a riot. And he goes, oh, we can do that. And the big bad guy just picks up a guy and just goes, hey, riot! And explosions just start going off everywhere. And that's how I was kind of half expecting this scene to go, which was one of them was just like, hey, we need a riot. Riot! And then everyone just, like, starts blowing shit.
Yeah, it's a break in the monotony.
Yeah. So I was really kind of hoping it would be like that, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad they did it in the Star Wars way. So, Yeah. But I just, having a prison riot in this reminded me of Avatar The Last Airbender, because that's one of the best moments of the show, where he's just like, oh, I can do that. Hey, guys, riot! And everything just starts setting on fire. So we also get to see Obi-Wan cuddle with a dead guy.
With his tongue hanging out.
I know.
Just so you know, he's dead. At least he didn't have X's for eyes, but yeah.
Yeah. That was a nice little scene. And something I missed on the Mon Cala arc. So you know at the end of the episode, they steal a ship, and it's a Quarren guy, right? As the Quarren guy is watching them fly away from their with his ship, you see the back of his head. I never noticed. The back of the Quarren's head looks like a butt.
It's pretty assy, yeah.
It is just too... It's a butt. They just stuck a butt on the back of their heads. They are butt heads. And I had never noticed before through the entire Mon Cala arc. They have butt heads. And lastly, the only thing about this episode is a lot happens, but it's all set up.
Yeah.
Big setup episode. So it's always kind of hard to judge these kind of episodes, but I do like this episode because we get to see how shady the Jedi Council can get, and they are doing very non-Jedi things, including Obi-Wan, because it's not very Jedi to stab a shark in the fin.
It's like Jedi Black Ops.
Yeah, but it's just another step showing their downfall. I mean, even Yoda's worried this entire episode. He's just like,
Not even Yoda. Yoda's always worried. I'm telling you, Yoda knows. Yoda like is outside the some part of Yoda's like outside the time continuum and knows the future, and is playing super three-dimensional wise Jedi-ness where he sort of knows what's going on but is trying to influence it where he's supposed to and not influence it where he's not supposed to, but you know, I don't know if he knows exactly like a movie played out before him, but Yoda's always, you know, Yoda always knows when things are going bad or going good and seems to be just like more than like surprised about what happened, just sort of like, Yep, yeah. That's right, it's July. That's right, it was going to start getting bad around now, so.
Yeah. But that's all I had for the episode.
You want me to score it up?
Score it up, my friend.
Think you're going to be surprised on this one. Just
okay.
Like last week, I'm giving this one a 9.
Wow!
I was going to give it an 8.5, but I bumped it up a half point just for Cad Bane, not particularly because he did anything super awesome, but because he's back, and it's just like, finally, Cad Bane is back. You know, I was wondering if they were going to use him again or not.
Usually these, like, setup episodes, you tend to grade just a little lower, so I'm interested now to see the rest of your score for this arc.
Well, it's a 9, because this one got a 9, because it's very similar to when Jar Jar passed himself off as a Jedi the first time. Or was mistaken for a Jedi the first time.
Oh, Bombad Jedi.
Bombad Jedi, where it's so, just like, this is so, you know, I mean, okay, they paid, you know, they paid tribute to Westerns and Samurai movies and Godzilla movies, but here they're kind of paying tribute to Face Off, which is kind of, it's a good movie, but it's cheesy as hell. And, I love it. I love the concept of it. It's just like, yeah, you know, give me something a little outrageous and maybe even a little implausible, because it's a good setup for a story. And so I'm psyched up for this. I think I saw this episode. I don't think I've seen how this resolves, because I had no idea where this went after this. But I love the setup, and I love that I give them a 9.0 because I'm encouraging that. I like to encourage that kind of experimentation and weirdness when it leads to fun rather than like pseudo mystical shit.
Yeah. For me, I just like how mighty shady the Jedi are in this. And Obi-Wan is the star playing Hardeen. He's really good at it. And I do want to give a shout out to James Arnold Taylor voicing both Obi-Wan and Hardeen. He's so good at making them so distinctly different, but it's still the same voice actor. And he actually voiced the part of Obi-Wan's voice changing to Hardeen. He actually shifted between the two characters in that. It wasn't he recorded one and then the other. He actually did that. So it was really cool, and he was amazing in this episode. It's also so great to have Cad Bane back. I just love him every moment he's on screen. And it's just another reminder of why he's so cool and great and deadly, even if he doesn't have his cool hat. But this is also just a lot of setup in this arc. And I have a big problem with the Jedi not telling Anakin and putting him in on the plan. That is the biggest problem I have with it. But it's still a good episode, so I gave it a 7.5 out of 10.
See, I like that they're setting off that Cad Bane is just, like, not buying Obi-Wan right off the bat, you know.
Yeah.
And as we've said before, Cad Bane might have a little bit of Force sensitivity in him, too. So, yeah, I like that they're introducing that, like, okay, and this is going to be Cad Bane and Obi-Wan wrangling, too, but in a different way than if they'd met as Jedi and Bounty Hunter.
Which they have. That was Hunt for Zero, so... Mm-hmm. And I think that helps Obi-Wan, too, because he's like, okay, this guy almost killed me. I need to be careful.
He knows to take him seriously, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's also, like, specializes in killing Jedi, too, so.
Yeah. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on either iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you write and review the show, it helps people find the show, so let us know what you think. This week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page of... For our episode, Plan of Descent.
Back so into the Krell. We got a trilogy of feedbacks here, a trio of feedbacks, or a triptych. We got three feedbacks.
You said dick.
I said triptych.
Oh, I thought you said triptych. T-I-C-H. Yeah, I thought you said triptych.
No, I only know that word because I had a roommate, and she was a photographer, and she... For about a year, she only worked in triptychs, three pictures.
I'm sorry, I have dicks on the brain. I always have dicks on the brain.
That's going to be one of the bylines for the show.
I always Hope have Malinuk. Dicks on the brain.
Dicks on the brain.
All right, take it away, Chris.
Insane in the dick brain. She's insane, got dicks in the brain. All right.
I think that song actually stuck in my head the other day. Insane in the membrane.
I hear it at work all the time. I hear that my coworkers play Cypress Hill all the time. I kind of like Cypress Hill. I was listening to them actually when they first came out. At least their first two albums. Anyway.
Plan of Descent.
I wonder whatever happened to Cypress Hill. Anyway, Gene Hendricks says, I should point out that Ben didn't refer to Luke as the last Jedi and Emperor. He referred to him as our last hope. Yoda responded with, no, there is another. Did another mean Leia, or was that Ezra? Well, now we actually, I think we know the answer to it. I have not read it, but there's a new book out, canon Star Wars book out, that I think it's 13 short stories.
It's like 40 short stories.
From, like, all different characters from their point of view, so there's an Aunt Beru one.
We've talked about it a few weeks ago. I had it as a news little bit.
And, well, apparently one of them is about Yoda, and it was about how Yoda and Ben Kenobi were arguing, and Yoda wanted to train Leia, not Luke.
Huh.
So that might answer that question.
And to answer your other question, Cypress Hill's last album came out in 2010, but they have another album currently in production.
Oh, okay.
It's called Elephants on Acid.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Hey, there you go.
I actually know I think I know where that title came from. In the early days of LSD research, they decided to give an elephant LSD to see what would happen with it. But they didn't understand the drug at the time. And so they administered it by body weight and not by brain size.
Oh, no.
So they gave it a huge, huge amount of LSD, and it stood there for a couple minutes, it swayed back and forth, and it dropped dead.
That's like Tesla testing. Was it Tesla who tested on elephants?
No, that was Tesla's evil enemy, Thomas Edison.
Yeah, that's what it was.
There was a bunch of falderal about whether AC or DC electricity was safer, and I can't remember now, being a bad scientist here, which one it was that Edison was championing, but he took Tesla's form and said, look, it kills an elephant, and electrocuted an elephant with it, just to, you know, in a completely hooey sort of way. It really didn't prove anything. It was just a grandstanding sort of publicity thing. But yeah, it involved killing a animal that's probably almost if not as or more intelligent than a human being. So
yeah, I mean, there's even like that was in the early days of film, and there's a film of it. And it's horrific.
It's not fun to watch. Yeah, it's not a nice film. Yep. Anyway, that answers that question. Hang on. Okay, we have one from Aaron Henley. And he's responding to Gene. He's saying, I've wondered that from time to time, too. Gene, honestly, I think from what we know, the case can be made for Ezra. Maybe not, though. He's been trained to fight and use the Force, and we have seen him hold his own against other Force users. When Luke left Dagobah, Obi-Wan was dead. Yoda probably knew he had very little time left, part of why I think he was so insistent on Luke staying, but that's me retconning and not stated in the movie. So if they went with Leia, I don't think they'd have been able to train her to Sith Lord fighting status before the last master died. That's probably true. How now could it also have been Kanan, since the Force itself proclaimed him a knight? That's entirely possible. Of course, all this can change with Rebels Season 4, but it's a good theory until we get the puzzle pieces to play with.
Oh, I can't wait for Rebels Season 4 starts, I think, this week of our time.
It's, like, pretty soon, yeah. All right, and we got one from Paul C. Kelly, who says, what? Krell is still in command? Not sure if it was just me, but the first time watching this, I had trouble keeping track of who was or who... Who is who with the clones? Fives and Dogma were a little easier to recognize, but when they stole the ships, I had to go back to figure out that Jesse was the third guy joining the attack on the generator. R.I.P. Hardcase. His death was similar to Russell Cassay's death in Independence Days. Hey guys, I'm back. Interesting you guys mention Revenge of the Sith in this, where we can now be more impacted watching Order 66. Is Wolf and the other commanders actual characters in that, or were they invented by Clone Wars? I think they were they were probably in it, technically. But I don't think they were named as such.
Cody is. Oppo had become...
Cody definitely is.
Yeah, Oppo had become the leader of the 501st. We saw Gree shoot... Gree, I think... No. Who's Aya Sakura's one? Commander Bly was named... But Wolf was made for Clone Wars.
Right.
He was not in anything else.
And then he says, I know Cody was an actual movie character. Probably can Google, but should be a good podcast discussion.
Yeah. By the way, Star Wars Rebels Season 4 starts next week, Chris.
Ooh.
Yeah. So,
I don't keep track of when stuff starts. I like noticed that there were a lot of videos of interviews with the stars of Blade Runner, so I was like, ooh, Blade Runner must be starting this Friday. You know, that's how I sort of figure it out. I never keep the dates in my head unless it's like Star Wars. So, which candy candying? Do you want to do mine or do you want to do yours first?
Well, you sound like you're opening something already. What are you
already
opening?
Crinkling. I'm not opening yet. I'm just crinkling just for effect.
Either.
All right, let's do mine, because just so this show will come out sooner and it'll be more timely with the news.
Yippee!
Somewhat. Exactly. We are eating yippee or yipee, Y-I-P-Y. It's from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
And it is a big, fat, thick-looking Kit Kat-looking thing. So it's a Puerto Rican Kit Kat. Which is... And once again, this is from our new... We got a brand spanking new box of... I had it last week for the show, but Hope just got hers because she's a little further away from Dario than
me. I got mine the day after.
But, yeah, I know. They usually come the same day. I was very disappointed in the post office on this. All right. It looks like a giant, thick Kit Kat bar.
Never with Dario. We're never disappointed with you. By the way, if you're wondering why we're eating candy, Chris is a big crybaby, and he hates American Kit Kats. So our friend Dario, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat and Beat It, sends us candy from all over the world to review. This is a really thick wafer. That's what she said.
Have you bit into it yet?
Oh, man.
It's more like, it's a Kit Kat, but it's like almost with frosting, like white frosting in between all the wafer layers.
Oh, it is frosting.
It's got a little, do you taste a little bit of cinnamon in there too?
See, at first it tasted like caramel, but now I can see that it's more vanilla-y.
Vanilla-y, yeah. Mmm.
Mmm.
That's good.
That's really good.
I like wafers and chocolate and frosting, so you can't really go wrong with that.
Mmm. It's a little bit on the sweet side with the frosting, but I think if it was like half that portion, man. Mmm. Like if it was like... Not
if it was a little chocolatier, it would be very Oreo-like, but it's sort of its own thing. I like it a lot. There's some salt in it. I have the super taster tongue, and like there's a back part of my tongue that's for salty, and it just started picking up like salt.
Mm-hmm. Well, as always, thank you, Dario. We love you.
Especially when we're eating free candy. Mm.
So, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me eating my foreign Kit Kats at twotruefreaks.com. And that's our website, since that sort of gives it away with the .com. And I'm talking about the web. That's something you would want to go to on the World Wide Web. That's where we keep all our podcasts. And started out with just my friend Scott Gardner and I making podcasts, you know, Star Trek one, a Star Wars one, a comic book one with our friend Michael Bailey. And then we just started picking up people. We picked up Hope, we picked up Andrew Leyland, we picked up Luke and the hair metal hero and Sean Engel. And it's just been rolling. We rolled up Gene in the whole ball like a Katamari game.
And Aaron and...
And Aaron's Dario. A recent addition. Mike Zumo's another recent addition. We keep...
And Dario with Eat and Beat It?
Mm-hmm. Dario, I, like, recruited him in person. He was a listener, and we just ended up partying at his house and started talking about, boy, this would be a great podcast. And that's when I did my usual thing of, like, okay, we're going to do it. And Dario going, oh, shit, I better go get myself a microphone. And we did it. And, yeah, there's all... We got all kinds of podcasts rolling all the time. And Scott Gardner and I now have Saturdays off. We both have Saturdays off. So, and it's the end of garage sale season, so expect some great old-school Two True Freaks from Scott Gardner and I.
Oh, and, that could be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And, let's see, we got a Twitter page run by Gene, the podcasting machine.
Gene!
I just edited episode 88 last night, and it had a great one. You were off getting a breath mint to wash the taste of old chocolate, the candy that we had that wasn't that good, out of your mouth, and I caught you with a da-da-da-da-da-jut, Gene, when you were, like, at the other side of the room.
And they screamed it across the
room. You just yelled it across the room. Yeah. But it was good to see you were still paying attention. And we have a Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and put Two True Freaks in, you'll find our Facebook page, and you'll find the Two True Freaks Cantina. And then you can, if you're on the Two True Freaks page, you'll see all the shows. Everybody posts them there as they come out. And some people even have Facebook pages for their shows. You'll find out about them. You got the Tutu Freaks Cantina, where you can go and just talk nerd news or topics of whatever you want, or show something cool that you found. It's all there. Where can they find you, Hope? Hope.
Did you... What?
Where can they find you, Hope?
Oh, I don't know what I heard with Hope, but I don't know. I think he called me a comlink hoe.
I called you a common hoe.
No, like a comlink. Like I'm calling a Jedi on a comlink.
You use your comlink too much. You're a comlink hoe.
That's okay. Actually, in high school, I was walking beside a girl, and one of my friends saw me in the hallway, and they were like, "Hi, Hope." And she grabs my arm and goes, "Did that guy just call you a hoe?" And I'm like, "No, my name is Hope." And she's like, "Oh, okay." And then I never saw her again. But she was ready to kick ass.
That's
for me.
Good, yeah.
That was my
That's sister some sisterhood right there, yeah.
Yeah, ready to kick ass for me. But you can find me at JGuysAndJedi on Twitter. I run our Twitter account. And with Rebel next week, I'll start live tweeting Rebels. I can't wait. I'm so excited. We're going to have to go through that episode really fast, Tommy. Well,
yeah, we're only doing one episode next week. That's for sure.
Yeah, so I can't wait. You can also find me at Hope Molinet. Now that Once Upon a Time is back, I've been live tweeting Once Upon a Time, so that's always fun for me because it's my trash show. It's my fandom trash. I love it. It's so bad. And I'm also the news writer for whatthefangirl.com. And I do news stories and stuff. My most recent one was I was analyzing the new trailer for Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. And in an earlier game of Pokemon, they had teased a multiverse. And in this trailer for Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, they were like, "Look, a multiverse!" And I was just like, "Whoa, they're actually doing it! Holy shit! What do you mean I can ride my Pokemon into the multiverse? Yeah!" So, because Pokemon is actually a huge obsession of mine. I've loved it since I was 10 years old. I love it. It's one of my favorite things in the world. I play it all the time. I actually, my nightly thing, if you ever wanted to know what I do at night, I pull up YouTube on my TV, and I watch the video game competition, like, streams, and I play Pokemon, and I watch Pokemon competitions as I go to sleep. Like, that's,
Born
that's
to
what
be
I
wild.
I know, I'm, this is why I'm single.
Swingle, so. You mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that would make a good Pokemon name, Swingle.
Yeah, it would.
But yeah, so check me out over on whatthefangirl.com, and sadly, I've yet to see anything about a Last Jedi trailer dropping. So not yet, guys. It's going to be next week when you hear our reaction to it.
Maybe. We'll see.
Probably.
It's almost, it's getting close to 10 o'clock, so we probably will get it in the next
Do you know how
show.
Long a football game lasts? You could have a baby during a football game.
I don't really know because I never watch football, so, yeah.
It's like a freaking, like, 3.5 hour game, and it
sounds
started
like hell to me.
Yeah, so join us next week, and you'll get to... We're probably more than likely hear our reaction to the Last Jedi trailer. Ah, it's coming, Chris. It's almost here. It's any minute now. Yay.
Yeah. I'm too old and thick-skinned. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. We'll see.
And I'm over here like, ah!
I'll get excited when it says, when I see Lucasfilm come up on screen, you know, as I
and
always do, so.
I'm panicking. I'm so excited.
Right.
I've literally just been, like, staring at my computer all day going, now.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a leak, and Hope's going to calm down by breathing into a bag, and we'll see you next week. Hopefully okay. with a trailer reaction.
Yep. Bye, guys.
Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
All right, children. The lights are out and the party's over. It's time for me, Dr. D, to start running and say goodbye for a little while. And I know you're gonna miss me, so I'll leave you with this. You know that big ball of radiation we call the sun? Well, it'll burst you into flames if you stay in one place too long. That is if the static don't get you first. So remember, even if you're dusted, you may be gone. But out here in the desert, your shadow lives on without you. This is Dr. Death Defying, signing off.